Over the course of the last month, we have been journeying with the Israelites through the book of Exodus, starting with the call of Moses at the burning bush on Mount Horeb. We, as a worshiping community, have been studying this story of the Exodus, this story of God delivering the enslaved Hebrew people out of Egypt, across the dry ground, through the Red Sea, and into the wilderness, where the people are free and wandering at God's leading. Last week, we reflected on the story of the Israelites' complaint to Moses and Aaron, and therefore to God, that they were hungry and could find no food. God, with compassion and care for God's people, made quail fill the land, and daily bread rained from the sky each morning. And today, we hear a story about thirst and God's ability to quench it. Now, before we get to the text, I do want to highlight for you a particular verse in our reading for this morning, because I think it will be a helpful frame for us as we explore this passage in light of our world today. You see, the last verse of our passage this morning, it's in the form of a question that might ring familiar to you too. It's a question posed by the Israelites to Moses about God, and it is inspired by their fears, by very real fears. The Israelites were thirsty. They were without access to water, and unsure of where they were headed, anxiety levels justifiably rose as they felt imperiled and insecure. Just as we do today when we sense a threat in our midst, the Israelites grew quarrelsome, frustrated, and impatient in their search for certainty of salvation. And they finally ask Moses, "Is God among us or not? Is God among us or not? Is God still here or not? We've seen the glory of the Lord before, but we suffer now. Why would God allow our suffering when we've been saved before? We have followed God this far. Has God abandoned us here and now? Is God among us or not?" It's an age-old question. It's a question that each generation wrestles with anew, asking with exasperation and trembling voices, "Why do you allow for us to suffer, O God? Are you with us, or have you abandoned us?" This question, it's a question I find myself wrestling with now in this time and place, and I've heard many of you asking it too. Because right now we witness a world full of suffering, don't we? Real and deep suffering. Even aside from debates about healthcare and tax codes, millions of people are traveling across this earth as refugees and immigrants, fleeing violence, fleeing war-torn homes in search of safer and a more peaceful life. The whole island of Puerto Rico and communities across the Caribbean, they're starting over now, starting from scratch, following the devastation of hurricanes. Racism, white supremacy, white nationalism, they wreak havoc among us. From the institutionalized systems in place that blind the privilege of white people and inherently disadvantage people of color, to the mass incarceration of black and brown brothers and sisters, from the vitriol and venom that's spouted from places of power, to the fear and prejudice and pride that lead to verbal and physical violence against those who peacefully resist. You know all too well how the list can go on and on. We live in a world today wherein God's children experience deep and real suffering. Deep and real suffering. And the questions about God's presence in the midst of such suffering are important and meaningful. So this is our framework for this morning. Acknowledging that we live not in a sheltered bubble, but in a world that experiences deep suffering, suffering akin to that of the Israelites in the Exodus, and we're invited back into this sacred text that tells the story of God's relationship with God's people, and we listen for God's word for us today. So let us turn to the book of Exodus again. This time we'll turn to the 17th chapter and we'll listen for the first 7 verses, listening for God's word to us today. Let us pray. God of all people, God of all places, God of all creation, you make yourself known. Make yourself known to us now, today, through your word, through your spirit. Make your presence known among us, among this suffering world. Amen. The first 7 verses of the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So before we seek to identify how this story relates to the suffering experienced in the world today, let's back up for just a minute and see what's happening in the scene in the Exodus. And in particular, let's focus on what God is doing. In the previous chapter, as we discussed last week, the Israelites had been in the wilderness for about 2.5 months, and they were hungry. They complained to Moses and to Aaron in the same way that they do in our story for this morning, only instead of thirst, they complained of their hunger. They complained of having been brought out of the land of Egypt to this wilderness place where there was no food for them to eat. They may as well have just died in Egypt, where, yes, they had been enslaved, but at least they had food and water and shelter. God, again, heard the cries of God's people and provided for them a daily breakfast of the finest bread from heaven and a daily supper of meat to fill their bellies. This food was then called manna, and it ended up sustaining them for 40 years as they traversed the wilderness until they came to a habitable land, the Promised Land. But just a few weeks after they started receiving manna, as they continued to journey, they found themselves camping around the area of Rephidim, an area where there was no water to drink. Without any water, without any access to water, the journey became much more life-threatening, a much more life-threatening endeavor, and their complaining turned into desperation. And their desperation was expressed in ways that were worrisome and threatening to Moses himself. So, of course, Moses appealed to God, and God responded. God told Moses to take his staff and some of the elders and to go ahead of the people to the rock at Horeb. God would meet them there, and upon their arrival, Moses was to strike the rock with the staff. So Moses and the elders went ahead of the people, and as they arrived at the rock, Moses struck it and water began to flow from the rock, a spring of water, flowing water, water for the people to drink, and all the elders were there to witness God's miracle. But back at camp, the people were suffering. They had left everything they had known, brutal as it was, to wander through the wilderness. And this wasn't a place of respite and natural beauty. It wasn't like going to a national park here in the United States or to a wildlife preserve. No, the wilderness where they were was where the jackals lived, where the wild beasts threatened. So even with water, they would have felt unsettled. But without water, the situation was truly dire. Now, it is true that the people had seen miraculous things along their journey in the wilderness. Indeed, they were protected by the blood of the Lamb as the angel of death passed over Egypt. They were delivered out of slavery. They passed safely between walls of water on their right and on their left as they walked through the Red Sea on dry land. They saw and tasted the manna that rained from the sky each morning and the quail each night. Indeed, the people had seen overwhelming evidence of the Lord's presence among them. And yet, they thirsted. They experienced suffering. And this acute suffering not only offered pangs of thirst, but it also incited a kind of amnesia. Unsure of the miracles they had witnessed, the people wondered again, is the Lord here or not? Is the Lord with us always or just when we cry out? Is the Lord with us always or just when we cry out? So what is God doing here? Let's look at the text with the benefit of hindsight from here in this church this morning. What do we see God doing in the text and throughout the story of the Exodus? We started our journey in Exodus with God hearing the cries of God's people and calling an unlikely Moses, who didn't evidence any remarkable faith and who didn't quite belong anywhere, to meet the people where they were. Then, providing safe passage for them, God removed them from the violent oppression of slavery and brought them into the wilderness, drawing them nearer to God's self and giving them time to adjust to life without oppression, time to reorient and reorganize themselves, not as slaves, but as a new community known as the children of God. When they hungered, God provided food. When they thirsted, God provided water. From unexpected, from unlikely, and from miraculous sources, God provided for the needs of God's people. And all the while, God was leading them, teaching them, guiding them over time to a land that will flow with milk and honey, to a new life ordered by grace and mercy, not power and oppression. Was God among them? Of course God was among them. God was among them, not only caring for their immediate needs, but shaping them as a people for abundant life and hope everlasting. And God is among us today, too. Church, from these pews here today, we can look back to the Israelites and see the unquestionable evidence of God's presence among them in the wilderness, protecting them, tending to their needs, shepherding them, shaping them to be a new people, leading them to the promised land. And as we step back into the narrative of the Israelite, we can also appreciate the acute suffering they experienced in the moment. When we are hungry, when we are thirsty, when unjust laws prevail, when we are victims of violence, when we are imprisoned, when we are deported, when we have lost everything, when we are brokenhearted, when we mourn loss, when we're sick, when we're in pain, when we suffer, like the Israelites, we ask again if God is among us or not. Both of these experiences are real, that we suffer and question God's presence among us, and God is undoubtedly among us. As people of faith, as followers of Christ, it's important for us to remember that we don't believe in God so that we might be free of suffering. We don't believe in God so that we might be free of suffering. Rather, it is faith in God, faith in the one who delivered God's people from Egypt to the Promised Land, the one who delivered God's people from sin to redemption, from death to resurrection. It is faith in God that helps us confront the suffering experienced in the world and have hope that suffering will not prevail. God is not only evident in the grand miracles that God performs among us, not only evident in the experiences of reconciling forgiveness that we can share among each other. God is not only evident in the experiences of redemptive generosity that we experience as a community, or of restorative justice that we experience as people who suffer, but God is evident in daily life, providing for our well-being, providing for our salvation. As we suffer, we are not alone. As we heal, we are not alone. As we thrive, we are not alone. And indeed, God is at work among us, working towards the fullness of time, the fullness of creation. And God calls us forth to join in the work of co-creating with God the promised land, the beloved community, the kingdom of God here on earth as it is in heaven. Is God among us? Of course. Of course God is. In the midst of the suffering in the world, let's take heart. God supplies our need from the unlikeliest of sources. Let us drink of this living water. Let us drink of this living water and be quenched. Let us eat our fill of the bread from heaven, and let us be strengthened in hope. Strengthened in hope, for we here, as an unlikely source, might be called to go out into the world to ease the suffering of our brothers and sisters. So let us hope. Amen.